Now, the story of a punk rock resurrection. It's the rise and fall and rise again of the Meat Puppets, led by Kurt Kirkwood and his brother Chris. Christian Bortle from member station KCRW charts their journey.
The Meat Puppets were never your average punk band. They listened to Neil Young in the 70s.
It's kind of one of the reasons we never really got entirely, accepted by the punk rock scene either. We're not really that much of a punk rock
band. We liked the Grateful Dead. We loved the Grateful Dead.
We loved the Dead.
We loved the Art Ensemble. We loved Sun Ra. We loved all kinds of stuff. Forget yourself.
The Kirkwoods also didn't fit in because punk rock was a working class movement, sneering at the glam rock excesses of the 1970s. And Kurt Kirkwood describes his and his brother's childhood in Phoenix, Arizona, as decidedly upper crust.
My mom was the child of this person who was like the kind of rich that people don't even dream of. So we grew up around Lear jets and hotels and all this crazy stuff, mansions all over the place.
We grew up with, our grandfather had money, but we didn't wind up with it.
The brothers gave high society the finger, and with drummer Derek Bostrom, started the Meat Puppets in 1980. Mike Watt, bass player at the time with the Minutemen and now with Iggy Pop and the Stooges, remembers hearing them at a club in L.A.
I didn't know they were brothers, but you could guess that without even knowing because the way they played together was incredibly in sync. And they were almost two heads on the same bean. I loved the way they played and sang together.
The Meat Puppets were signed to SST Records, along with a who's who of punk bands at the time, including Black Flag, The Minutemen, and Husker Du. And after more than a decade on college radio, the Puppets finally got a taste of the big time when Kurt Cobain, a fan, invited them on tour with Nirvana and on MTV Unplugged.
We recorded it, and then he killed himself.
It became his swan song, and that was then really treasured because of the circumstances. So they started playing it a lot, and we'd hooked up a hit song of our own at that point, so we had like a flood of attention.
Some things will never change. They stand there looking backwards, half unconscious from the pain. They may seem rearranged. In the backwater swirling, there's something that'll never change.
Everything seemed to be coming together for the Meat Puppets. And that's when the wheels started falling off for Chris Kirkwood.
Suddenly I had more money, I'm just somebody that's susceptible to it. It's in our family, There's alcoholism in our family deep, They say that can play a part in it, whatever, I just allowed it to happen. I regret it horribly, After everything had got that bad, it was just, it was the deep end,
I could have seen it gotten a lot worse. I can see it having gotten to the point where you lost a limb or two, even.
By the next year, when the band recorded the follow-up, Chris was deep into a heroin addiction. Paul Leary of the Butthole Surfers produced both records.
It was pretty tough. Chris was having problems, and he often didn't show up to the studio. And when he did show up to the studio, he was passed out on his face on the floor. And so we'd try to work around him, and sometimes he'd get mad at us for not including him in things. And eventually, we just moved the session to Los Angeles and didn't tell Chris about it.
Did he end up playing on any of the stuff, or was it just other people?
Oh, yeah, no, he played on all of it. We got his parts. The mother can play. He can play the bass.
Things went from bad to worse. In 1996, Chris and Kurt's mother died. In 98, Chris's wife died of an overdose. And by then, his brother had given up.
I couldn't handle it, so I didn't have much emotional stake in it by then, and just didn't pay any attention to it as another world. I mean, he's in the world of the street people and, the people that aren't here. And he's smart, so he was able to prolong it while living right on the edge. And people call me, tell me, I think there's somebody else dead at your brother's house. You wouldn't try to have a glimmer of hope. He wasn't there.
Chris says he ballooned to 300 pounds, lost all his teeth. Then in 2003, he was shot after assaulting a security guard in a post office parking lot. He went to prison for a year and a half, and that finally cleaned him up. A year after he got out, the Kirkwoods were back together, releasing their first tentative new music in more than a decade.
Maybe you think that you're nylon. You seem to say you're children of the world. And maybe you think you're an astronaut from starry swine. You're harvesting your pearls.
Kurt says he wasn't looking for a reunion. He just wanted to make another Meat Puppets record.
And Elmo, my son, was like, hey, man, it's really weird. I saw Uncle, and he looks like Uncle again. It's himself.
It was pretty amazing when Kurt called, you know, the timing and everything, because I'd actually had managed to turn the corner. And it was just long enough after all the emotional damage that I'd incurred, you know, losing my wife, everything that I'd gone through was just so overwhelming emotionally, to having wrecked my career, having ruined my relationship with everybody that loved me and who I loved. I'd managed to just get a handle on the emotional part of it, so that when I got out, I knew I'm not going to immediately need to run back to dope to cover up the damage that dope did, you know? So I knew I was going to be clean. I knew it.
Bassist Mike Watt, who's known the Meat Puppets since the beginning, has seen the trajectory of addiction before, with much worse outcomes.
I mean, a lot of our scene was like that, right? A lot of them aren't with us anymore because of that. And, yeah, nothing could be more painful. But, man, I tell you, I was so glad when he came out of it. I can't tell you what it meant to me. I've been with him a few times, you know, seen these gigs, and it's big joy. It's big joy.
There doesn't seem to be a lot of residual bitterness on Kurt's part about the fact that Chris disappeared into heroin right as the band had its chance to break through.
I mean, having money and fame and all that stuff, they don't say it's hollow for nothing. People kill themselves, they get addicted to drugs. At the peak of their popularity, when things should be the best for them, everybody's bummed out, especially in punk rock or in rock and roll. You know, it's not just punk rock, the beautiful people all choked on their vomit too.
Fortunately for the Meat Puppets and their fans, Chris Kirkwood didn't. For NPR News, this is Christian Bordahl.
The Meat Puppets came into our studios at NPR West and recorded some songs. You can hear those tracks at nprmusic.org. And that's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz. Have a great week.